Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all exclusive.
Guys, the fooling around is over. This is it. It's week 13. It's time to get serious. The playoffs are on the horizon, and that's why we're here. Fantasy Football Insiders, on a week 13. I'm Ross Mandel, Rostradamus, joined by the Reverend Ralph Mancini. We got to get the playoffs. We got to get in there. We got to bring home the rings like we do. Ralph, how was the week? Are you ready to rock and roll? Are you ready to make the playoffs?
Hey, man, yeah, listen, you know, the trading deadline is over. What you got is what you got to go to war with. And so, you know, we're going to go down swinging here. You know, let's do it.
It's that time. It is that time. And before we jump into this week's games, we do have one. I don't want to call it a game because it wasn't much one, but we did have one result, a couple of fantasy implications involved on Thursday night when the Eagles got trounced again, this time by the Seahawks in Seattle. Rev, you know, DeSean Jackson and his half-hearted effort or lack of effort is the main story coming out of this game. But honestly, I mean, LeSean McCoy aside, what did you see from the Eagles that has Andy Reid keeping his job?
I really don't see much from that offense. You know, from a fantasy perspective, this was supposed to be a dream team, and they do have a lot of big names. But with Jeremy Maclin out, I mean, that whole offense has basically crumbled. I mean, you could say also that, you know, Vince Young has also been terrible, and that's fair. But, you know, when your best weapon out there is Riley Cooper, then your offense is in big trouble. And really, you know, outside of LeSean McCoy, who do you really hang your hat on in that offense from a fantasy perspective? I mean, Riley Cooper is a popular guy, has been a popular guy in recent weeks. You know, they do throw the ball to him a lot. But let's face it, this guy is not a very good player, man. I mean, he drops just as many balls as he catches, and he just cannot rely on the guy. And so, really, you know, and DeSean Jackson, I mean, right now, it's just a lost season for the guy. It started off on the wrong foot. He has been acting like a baby, but yet, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles have gone out and spent big money on a lot of outsiders, guys that had never won games for them, and then they don't spend money on guys that have won games for them, like DeSean Jackson. So I think there's blame to be put on both sides here, not just, you just can't put everything on DeSean Jackson's shoulders, although he has been acting like a big baby.
I completely agree. And, you know, there's a couple of people that need to be quiet. First and foremost is Vince Young. I mean, there are some people who I've heard on television saying, oh, you know, he runs the Eagles' offense better. Let me tell you something. Here's what Vince Young does. He goes back to his days at University of Texas where he was playing inferior competition, and he thinks that's what he's doing now, and he just goes back and throws the ball up. And once in a while, you'll get a Riley Cooper 60-yard completion. But most of the time, you're going to get inaccurate, long passes that are going nowhere and a scattergun in the short routes. And listen, Michael Vick is the one who should be running this team. I hope we silenced all those critics. And the second guy is DeSean Jackson. Look, I know the guy should have gotten a new contract. I would have given it to him. We all knew there was going to be trouble. But the bottom line is, you're a professional football player. Act like it. And he doesn't. And he's playing himself out of zeros week after week. I could see the dollar signs decreasing in whatever he's going to get next year for wherever he's at next year. But, you know, props to Seattle. There were some beast mode sightings on Thursday. Marshawn Lynch, again, talk about professional. This guy just runs and runs and runs as hard as he can every time. That team knew they weren't going to make the playoffs this season, but they came out and played like professionals, and that was the difference in that game. One team played like professional football players, the other team didn't, and that's why Seattle beat the living heck out of the Philadelphia Eagles, which never makes me sad. And speaking of Eagles, Donovan McNabb asked for and granted his release this week, but there were only crickets during the waiver wire process, Rev. Where is McNabb going to land, if anywhere? Maybe he's going to go to Canada. What's the story here?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of funny where, you know, everybody starts speculating that he was going to go to the Chicago Bears. And some people brought up the fact that, hey, he's from Chicago originally, so that would be a great fit. No, that's not a reason for the Chicago Bears to pursue him. look, the bottom line is that the guy had a lot of trouble a couple of years ago in Mike Shanahan's offense. And to expect him to play in Mike Martz's offense, which is even more complex, is unrealistic. So in my opinion, he's a bad fit over there. And I think he would have been a nice fit for the Jacksonville Jaguars, initially at the beginning of the season. But now that they're not playing for anything, you know, I don't see where the fit is over there. So, I mean, I don't know where he fits. You know, I'll give you a team. I mean, what about the New York Jets? Maybe that's a team that could use Donovan McNabb. I mean, is Mark Sanchez better than Donovan McNabb, as bad as McNabb is? You know, I mean, maybe there's a place where he could fit in, because the Jets don't really have a backup at this point. But to answer your question, I don't think there are many destinations out there for Mr. McNabb. I mean, the guy is way past his prime, and a guy like Kyle Orton is a guy that was snatched up immediately. A guy like Kyle Orton is a lot more valuable at this point than Donovan McNabb.
I agree with you, and listen, you know, anyone who thinks that it's nice and romantic for him to go back to Chicago, that's nice, but the bottom line is, me or you, one of us could run Mike Martz's system better than McNabb with the tools that he has left in that empty toolbox of his. And, you know, my initial reaction was, oh, he'll go to Houston, because T.J. Yates is there, and Jake Delhomme, you know, what are you going to do? I think he'd be a decent backup for the Jets. I completely agree with you. I don't like the thought of, as much as Sanchez struggles at times, I don't like the thought of Mark Brunell coming in to taking meaningful snaps, but he can't be that much worse than McNabb, man. We've been saying it for 2 years. The guy is shot. It's enough. And, you know, to hear him go on the radio and try to sell himself like Vince is selling a ShamWow on an infomercial is almost embarrassing, if I didn't loathe him for being a former Eagle so much. But I don't see him having any impact anywhere the rest of this season. I mean, who's going to bring him in? Teams who are out of it don't want to do it. Teams who are in it have to be thinking, well, if we have to rely on him, we're really not in it anymore. I mean, if the Texans need to bring him in for meaningful snaps, you can't like their chances. And, you know, why not roll with T.J. Yates? He's got young legs and a young arm, and we'll see what happens. They're going to run the ball a lot anyway. Before we jump into the games this week, I see we got a phone caller on the line calling from the 248. 248, you're on the line. What's going on this morning?
Oh, how you doing? I wanted to ask, I've got to play two of these three running backs, and I've got Toby Gerhardt, who, you know, looks like he's going to be starting now. Donald Brown, who's an enigma, looked good last week. And then I got Michael Turner, who ordinarily is an automatic for me, but he's got the groin injury. And one other question. Because of injuries, because Kelvin Johnson, A.J. Green, so really happy with them, but my third receiver's got to be either Roy Williams or Ocho Cinco. So I don't know which of those blasts from the past is.
Yeesh. Well, let's address the running back situation first, and specifically Michael Turner. I mean, he does have a groin injury, which is among the worst things you can have. Plus, he's going up against the Houston rush defense that's pretty darn good of late. Rev, I don't know. I know you're going to be doing the Falcons later, but what's the story with Turner? I would expect him to play, but he might be limited today.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard that he's not playing. I know that he practiced a bit, but in a limited capacity. So I think you're going to see a little bit more of Jason Snelling, a little bit more of Jacquizz Rodgers. But, I mean, when you're comparing him to these other running backs, I mean, man, I can't go with Toby Gerhardt. The guy has shown me nothing. And as far as Donald Brown goes, it's hit or miss. And really, you know, going up against the Patriots, I mean, you didn't expect the Colts to put up that many points. I mean, right now, I mean, you're in a tough situation in terms of your running backs. But, I mean, unless you hear that Turner's not playing, he's the guy you have to stick with.
Yeah,
I think
75% of Turner's definitely better than either of those two other guys. So get him in there. And if you need two, to be honest with you, I'd probably go with Brown. I mean, I like what I've seen from him lately, and honestly, the Denver defense has been playing so well, I think that Brown might have a better matchup against New England, even though they're not going to score a lot. Now, go through that wide receiver question one more time for me, please.
Okay, it's either, Ocho Cinco or Roy Williams. because I had Jacoby Ford is injured, and Jenkins would have been a
Let me tell you first off, I don't know why Ocho Cinco is on your team. You got to get rid of him. I mean, he serves no purpose on anybody's fantasy team. So I would take just about anybody else compared to Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, there's nothing on the waiver wire you can pick up.
Oh, now we were only allowed to pick up one per week, and I got Donald Brown this week. So you think Ray Williams has anything left?
I think he has a lot more left in the situation he's in than Ocho does.
Sure.
Yeah, he definitely starts Roy Williams there.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, I mean, that's just a tough situation he's in there as far as both of those situations go. I mean, unless that's a really deep league, he's more than likely going to struggle unless he's got Aaron Rodgers rocketed quarterback. But as we've seen in our league, man, Aaron Rodgers can save you single-handedly week after week. All right. Let me hit a chat room question here. Dazed and Confused, good to see him in there. Good to see everyone in there. Chicago Bears, Snake Eyes, got them all. Go Bronx up early. Thank you, guys. In a six-team team, touchdown-heavy league, okay, this guy needs one wide receiver, Reggie Wayne, Eric Decker, Early Doucette, Robert Meacham. Let's tackle that first. Who do you like out of those four, Rev?
So you got Wayne, Decker, Meacham, and Early Doucette.
Yeah.
And he needs one out of those guys?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you right off the bat that I know that's going to be a shootout between New Orleans and Detroit, but I can never trust Robert Meacham. And Early Doucette, I don't like his chances either. To me, it comes down to either Reggie Wayne or Eric Decker. I kind of like Eric Decker this week. I mean, look, Tim Tebow doesn't throw a lot of balls, but when he does throw it, he does look for Eric Decker. And another thing you have to keep in mind is that Eric Decker is going back home to Minnesota. You know, let's not forget, this guy was a big star for the Golden Gophers in the Big Ten, and he's going to be highly motivated to do well.
I completely agree with it. I think it comes down to Wayne and Decker, and I actually like Reggie Wayne this week, but I like Decker a little bit more. Nationally televised game for some reason, and that reason is Tim Tebow. And I like the matchup against the Minnesota secondary there. I think Decker's going to be able to get it done. Okay, and the second part of the question, it's a two-quarterback league. Get ready for this one, Rev. He needs one. T.J. Yates or Dan Orlovsky? And interceptions kill you.
Well, okay. You got to look at that second part of that question to really come up with an answer. If interceptions are a killer, then you don't go near Dan Orlovsky because the Colts are going to need to throw the ball early and often in this game if they want to have a chance, a prayer, versus the Patriots today. So you go with Yates. I mean, look, he's not going to get you big numbers, but they do have a great running game, and so he can lean on that, and they do have a great defense as well. So I don't think the Houston Texans are going to need Yates to put up even 200 or 250 yards to win that game. So if interceptions are a killer, you go with Yates.
I have to agree because of that caveat that interceptions are a killer. You know, Orlovsky's going to throw for more yards, probably by 100, but he's also going to be putting the ball up so much that, I mean, let's just admit it. It's Dan Orlovsky. There's a reason it took this long for him to replace Curtis Painter, and that's because he's not very good. He's going to throw picks. We don't know how good T.J. Yates is. Maybe he's decent, but he's not going to be throwing the ball a lot today with Ben Tate and Arian Foster, maybe a couple dump offs to tight ends, of which they have about 20 in Houston, and dinks to the running backs, maybe a throw here and there to Andre Johnson. I don't see a lot of risk coming out of Yates, and as you said, I think the risk is mandated by Orlovsky being 28-0 down in the second quarter. Easy D20, Houston could use anyone. Jake DeLome, are they serious? You know what? I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't get what they're doing there. He's the worst. There's got to be somebody better than him.
I mean, it's mind-boggling to think that, you know, one of my favorite players of all time, Jeff Garcia, actually worked out for Houston, and Jake DeLome beat him out. So, I mean, that tells me, you know, how bad Garcia must have been for Jake DeLome to beat him out. I mean, you can't get any worse than Jake DeLome.
No, I mean, it made me think that maybe Garcia wanted more money or something, because it logically it makes no sense to me. Okay, enough Jake DeLone. That's too much talk for him already. Go Bronx wants to ask, in a non-quarterback flex league, he needs to start two. Carson Palmer, Ben Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton, Colt McCoy, or Sam Bradford. I think you can get rid of McCoy and Bradford. I don't trust Bradford's ankle at all. I don't trust his offense at all. McCoy's with his pop gun arm not looking good. So basically it comes down to the big three there. Palmer, Roethlisberger, or Dalton. And you need two of those? Well, you're going to start Big Ben, I would assume. I mean, I don't see that offense struggling like the way it did last week. So it comes down between Palmer and Dalton. Man, I'll tell you, Miami has not been playing anything other than solid defense of late. And I don't trust Andy Dalton necessarily going into Pittsburgh and having a great day. I don't think it's going to be a rookie shaking in his boots kind of day. But I think it's going to be one of those, you know, 200 yards, one touchdown, one interception sort of days for Dalton. And I could see Palmer getting a little bit more done. I know he doesn't have a lot of wide receiving targets to throw to, but, you know, as you saw last week, Marcel Reese could get some things done. Darius Heyward-Bake can shake open once in a while. Maybe they, this week, decide to incorporate Kevin Boss into the offense a little more. I trust Palmer's matchup more than I trust Andy Dalton, so I'm going with Palmer and Ben Roethlisberger, Rev. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, with Andy Dalton, I mean, he's going up against Pittsburgh. They're very good at defending the pass, one of the top teams in that department. And you have to think that, you know, they're going to have some schemes there to force him into mistakes. And really, you know, Andy Dalton, I mean, the guy's had a great season. But, you know, if you take a look at it, man, I mean, a lot of his production is coming off a lot of dinks and dunks. And when he does go deep, you know, he's just throwing that ball up for grabs. And luckily he has A.J. Green on the other end. So, yeah, I have more faith in Palmer. I'm not big on Palmer this week just because, you know, he's missing Jacoby Ford once again. He's missing Denarius Moore. But you know what Palmer does is, and you referenced this before, he makes good use of what he has. And so between Darius, Heyward-Bey, and Kevin Boss and all these other guys, I think that, you know, he'll be able to cobble together a good enough day to make him fantasy-worthy, to make him a guy that's worthy of being put in your lineup. So I'll go with Palmer and Big Ben.
All right, agreed. America's guest in a PPR league. He needs one of the following, Rev. Antonio Brown against the Bengals, C.J. Spiller against Tennessee, Mark Ingram against Detroit, or your favorite, Santana Moss against the Jets. Who do you like out of those four?
Well, I actually picked up Santana Moss in one league, believe it or not, but this is not the week to start him. And I think Spiller has got some potential here. And I do like Ingram as well, but, you know, you never know who's going to get the majority of touches there in that New Orleans backfield. Look, if this is a PPR league, I'm going to go with Antonio Brown here. I know he's going to get the ball thrown to him, and the guy converts a lot of third downs. They look to him a lot, and really, with a lot of defense, he's taken Mike Wallace out of the equation in recent weeks, trying to eliminate the deep ball. Antonio Brown has been the guy. He has been the go-to guy for Ben Roethlisberger. So if this is a PPR league, I'll go with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, you know, I love Antonio Brown as a football player, and I don't like C.J. Spiller that much. I've been very unimpressed with what he's bringing to the table. But this week, I think it's a good matchup for Spiller as far as receptions go.
I agree.
In a PPR league, I hate to say it, but I think I'm going to lean towards Spiller just because – the first time the Bengals played the Steelers, you know, Brown didn't do a hell of a lot. And I know that the Bills are going to be – I see that game high scoring today, Tennessee and Buffalo. I think they're going to be doing a lot of dumping the ball off, Stevie Johnson clearing out some space for C.J. Spiller to take a couple swing passes. I'm going to go with Spiller. But definitely, by far, my 1A would be Antonio Brown. Again, another Antonio Brown question, Rev, from Go Bronx. He needs two, and this time it's a non-PPR. Brandon Marshall, Brandon Lloyd, K.
Calvin Johnson and Antonio Brown. Now, Brown doesn't belong in that question to me. Brandon Marshall, Brandon Lloyd, wow, and Calvin Johnson. You have to start Calvin Johnson. I mean, there's no question about it. That, number one, you always start him, and number two, that game might go over 80 points. I'll tell you, the way Matt Moore's been throwing the ball lately, and that means about 100 targets to Brandon Marshall, I'd be hard-pressed to sit Brandon Marshall this week, Rev. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Marshall fan, but I have to acknowledge the fact that Mr. Matt Moore knows where his bread is buttered, and he does go to Marshall a lot. And that seems to give Marshall a lot of confidence. He's been playing a lot better lately. So I'm going to go with Marshall, and I'm going to go with Calvin Johnson. I think they're your two best bets to score.
Yeah,
and that's what you're looking for in a non-PPR. You're looking for those guys that can score you touchdowns.
Right, and, you know, look, no disrespect to Brandon Lloyd, who has scored in the last three games in a row, I believe, and has made some just outrageous catches, and he's a heck of a football player. But you don't know even if Sam Bradford's going to play today, and that offense is just so awful that I don't think you can rely on him.
They're averaging about 10 points a game, so
I mean, it's just
a touchdown's not a given with that guy. So.
No, not at all, not at all. But, you know, when you have choices – like Brandon Marshall and Calvin Johnson, I think you can be okay with sitting Brandon Lloyd today. Okay, let's see. We got another one here. Oh, boy. Okay, 12-team standard league. Lance Moore, interesting. Lance Moore or Andre Johnson?
I will go with Andre Johnson here. I mean, I know Lance Moore's coming off of a big game on Monday Night Football. He scored two touchdowns, but he's just not out there a lot. He's been losing reps to other receivers. Darren Sproles is a guy that's been doing the job at his position as well. And so I'm going to continue going with Andre Johnson. I know it's risky. I know that he's playing with a quarterback that is a very unpolished, a rookie, and you don't know what you're going to get out of that quarterback. But Andre Johnson is Andre Johnson for a reason, because the guy can run like every route in the book. And so to me, even if they need him to be a possession receiver going across the middle, making some tough catches, I think Andre Johnson can do that. He's not just a guy like a Torrey Smith who's going to go deep, a boom or bust type of guy. Andre Johnson is more than that. He's better than that. So I'm going to go with Andre Johnson.
I agree with you. I think it's very close, and I agree with the easy D that the quarterback situation definitely would help Lance Moore, but I think Andre Johnson is just that good that he can make a quarterback look better. I know it's a difficult thing to conceive of, but I think he'll make some outrageous catches. I think the run game will set up a couple of play-action tosses to him. You got to go with the potential there. And Lance Moore has...
The Falcons' best cornerback is out, Brent Grimes. So maybe that helps out a little bit, too.
It definitely helps T.J. Yates, and it definitely helps Andre Johnson. The second part of that question, the law firm, he has the law firm in, or should he go with what he says is a very disappointing Sean Green with LaDainian Tomlinson maybe coming back this week? That's an interesting question, Rev. I know you have your finger on the pulse of the Jets. So what do you think of Sean Green? I think he's running pretty well, and I thought they should have given him the ball a lot last week, and I'll get into that in a minute. But who do you go with here, Sean Green or the law firm?
Yeah, I think Sean Green's doing okay, but I think for this week, I think I'll go with law firm. I mean, against the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, that team is just useless from a defensive standpoint, and you have to think that the Patriots are going to have to put up, or they're going to put up at least about, I would say, anywhere between 33 to 38 points in that game, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to score two more touchdowns than the Jets. They're going to be ahead. They're going to run the ball. You know, so what if Shane Vereen takes a couple of carries away in the second half? I think the law firm is the one to go with here. I really, you know, he scored a couple touchdowns last time they played. Sean Green, I mean, look, he could run for 70 yards and a touchdown, but he could also run for 50 yards and not score. So I think I'd go with the law firm here. And speaking of the Jets, that is the first game we will tackle today as the Jets travel down to the district to take on the Redskins. And the guy I do like is the guy we were just talking about, Sean Green. Look, 13 carries for 78 yards last week. Should have seen more of the ball.
Washington's been very poor against the run of late, so I feel safe playing Green, and I feel safe of him sort of approaching 85, 90 yards and maybe finding the end zone today. But, man, how about the Redskins running back situation with Roy Helu? Clearly been anointed the starter there. He had 30 touches last week. I couldn't believe that when I saw it. And Shanahan, Mike Shanahan says he's a 25-carry guy. So, you know, that probably means he'll split carries three ways and get 12 this week with Shanahan running the show. But Helu did rack up 108 yards rushing and 57 receiving versus a decent Seattle defense. And, you know, the Jet rush defense isn't that scary this year. They're giving up 114 yards a game, so feel safe starting Roy Helu, at least until Shanahan decides to pour the liquid in the beaker in another one and act like the mad scientist that he is. I also kind of like Plaxico Burress this week. You know, he is the red zone target, and the Redskins have given up touchdowns via short yardage passing in recent weeks, I've noticed. I think Plax is good for a score this week. I also think that Redskins tight end Freddie Davis, good for a score this week. He's been the most reliable target for Rex Grossman, other than the other team at times. But I think you're safe going with Fred Davis this week. The Jets haven't exactly been lights out on opposing tight ends, and Davis is extremely athletic, extremely big, and will cause very, very good problems there as far as the Redskins are concerned for the Jets' middle-of-the-field defenders. The dud to me, look, you know, you can say Rex Grossman, look, no one was going to start him anyway unless they're in a desperate situation. Same with Mark Sanchez. Santonio Holmes is the dud. The guy just does not see enough of the football. And the Redskins are the fourth best team against opposing fantasy football wide receivers. So, I mean, look, Santonio Holmes owners, and I'm one of them, you're looking at 3 for 35. Maybe he catches a touchdown. I definitely, two guys we were talking about earlier, I'd definitely rather have Eric Decker or C.J. Spiller on my team today than Santonio Holmes. The sleeper, they might not be a sleeper for a lot of people, but the way they've been playing lately, I put him here, and that's the Jets' defense. They've been very quiet of late. But as we all know, Rev, and as you're hoping to see today, I know, Sexy Rexy is a turnover waiting to happen. He's got 5 picks the last 3 weeks. I think you can look for the Jets to add to that total by at least 2. Maybe he coughs up a fumble. I could see a defensive touchdown from the Jets today. I like the Jets today, 24-16. And, Rev, since these are your boys, I'm going to ask you what you think the score is going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it could be a defensive struggle. I will go with the Jets here. I will go 20-19 Jets.
20-19. Well, that would be exciting for the television viewers. I'm sure it wouldn't be for your remote control as you crush it in nervous anticipation. But look, speaking of anticipation, Rev, you got to be psyched for the starting debut of T.J. Yates at home against the Atlanta Falcons as they come into Reliant to take on the somehow surging Texans who don't seem to miss a beat.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love Roddy White, and he's my stud here. I mean, after some rather dismal performances, White has come alive in his last couple of games with 147-yard and 120-yard efforts versus Tennessee and Minnesota. And with Julio Jones battling a hamstring injury, White and Tony Gonzalez will be Matt Ryan's primary options. You know, while a lot of people are disappointed at White because he hasn't put up the same numbers he did last year, a closer look reveals that his stats are very much in line with what he produced from 2007 through 2009. And, you know, White's a physical guy. I'm not worried about the Texans' secondary, although they're much improved with Jonathan Joseph back there. The dud, and we talked about this guy before, is Michael Turner. Now, look, I'm not telling you to bench him, but if you have better options, then go with those other options that you have. Look, he's not spectacular. He doesn't catch passes, but the burner sure is reliable. He has a tough matchup this week versus Wake Forest's 3-4 defense that has allowed only Ray Rice and MJD Maurice Jones-Drew to reach 70 yards since week 3. And now you're hearing that he's got the groin injury, but unless you hear otherwise, you know, you have to think that he's playing this week, but I don't see great things up ahead. I think at best he has a mediocre day. Maybe he gives you a cheap 1-yard touchdown. Maybe he gives you about 60 to 70 yards.
I don't see great things up ahead for Mr. Turner. I think that this is going to be a tough game for Ben Tate as well. Yeah, look, he's a nice flex option during most weeks, but the Falcons are ranked number two versus the run, and over the past couple of weeks, they've held Toby Gerhart and Chris Johnson to under 70 yards combined, so it's just a bad matchup for Ben Tate. I don't think I would use him this week as a flex option. A sleeper here, I'll go with Owen Daniels. I mean, he's been underwhelming this year, but you could plug him in as an injury fill-in. And, you know, while he hasn't caught a touchdown in about 2 months, OD still gets targeted 5 to 7 times on most weeks. He's ranked 12th among tight ends in standard leagues. I'll go with Houston here. I expect their defense to step up in this one. They're playing at home. I think the running game will get the job done. I'll go with the Texans here, 23-20 over the Falcons.
Wow. I'm going to go the other way here. I'm going to go with Atlanta, even though Turner's a little banged up. I like what I'm seeing from this team overall. I'm going to think that TJH is going to struggle a little bit. I know they'll probably get a little bit done on the ground, but Atlanta's run defense has been good. I'm going with the Falcons, 21-16. Got a pretty interesting question coming out of the chat room, and I've been wondering what I would do. Go Bronx has a question. He's in a non-PPR league, but you do get kick return yardage. You get a point for every 25 yards of return. He needs 2 running backs and 1 wide receiver running back flex. So 2 running backs and a flex out of the following group of players. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Darren Sproles, Willis McGahee, Rashard Mendenhall, D'Angelo Williams, Roy Helu, Hakeem Nicks, or David Nelson? 2 running backs and a running back wide receiver flex.
I think this that's Jordy Nelson.
Oh, is it Jordy? It's Jordy Nelson. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my bad. Okay, so it's even more of a difficult question.
Well, look, if they're counting kick return yardage, you have to go with Sproles as one of your
correct
choices there.
Yes.
And so, man, I guess, yeah, he's got some pretty decent options here. You know, Mendenhall hasn't really done much lately. McGahee's kind of hit or miss. And Helu, you never know what Shanahan's going to do. Oh, man. You know, I will go with I guess I'll go with McGahee this week, man. I mean, look, the Denver Broncos are committed to the run. He's looked good in recent weeks. It didn't look good against the Jets, but looked better last week. I'll go with Sproles and McGahee and as my flex option. I guess I'll go with Roy Helu. I mean, because you don't know how many carries he's going to get, but you know that he's going to catch the ball. He's very good at that. And with D'Angelo Williams, I just, again, you know, it's a crowded backfield, and from 1 week to the next, you don't know what you're going to get. I know it's going to be going to be a lot of points scored in that Carolina game. But I'll go with Helu, I'll go with McGahee, and I'll go with Sproles here.
Yeah, it was a tough call for me, too. I'm going with Sproles. I'm going with McGahee. But I'm going to go with D'Angelo Williams over Roy Helu or Hakeem Nicks, who would have been my next choice. I'd go with the running back here. And I just don't trust Mike Shanahan. I think the Jets' defense will play pretty well. And I'm telling you right now, I could run for $150 against that Tampa Bay run defense after what I saw. And I think there are a couple of long runs in there for D'Angelo Williams this week. So we definitely agree on Sproles and McGahee, and it's either D'Angelo for me or Helu for Rev. So, you know, Bronx, I hope that helps you out, but that's a nice choice to have. All right, going to go back to the phone lines. We got another caller on the line. 707, what's going on?
How much, guys? I got 2 quick questions for it. I got Little, Demarion Williams, and Johnny Knox, and Nelson out of Buffalo, David Nelson. What do you like that in PPR?
Okay, run through that list again.
It's Nelson, David Nelson,
yeah.
Johnny Knox, Demarion Williams, or I even forgot my own guy. How about out of those 3 guys?
Rav, what do you think?
Well, I couldn't make out who the second guy was.
Yeah, who's the Williams?
It's Damarion Williams out of Tampa.
Oh, yep, Mike Williams.
Hey, Michael Williams?
No. Tennessee, I'm sorry.
Oh, you mean Damian. Damian Williams.
Oh, okay. Damian Williams.
Okay.
And you need one?
Yeah, in a PPR.
Okay. You know, wow. These are some pretty – I don't like Knox this week. And Little, although he's been playing a lot better, I just don't trust anybody from Cleveland. To me, it's between either Williams or Nelson. I think I'll go with Damian Williams. He's been playing very well lately. He's a guy who's a good route runner. He's been coming on, and I like his chances this week.
I do, too. I love the matchup. Buffalo's secondary is just dreadful. I think you go with Damian Williams out of that group, followed closely by Johnny Knox to me.
Yeah, I like Johnny Knox, too. Hey, on the running backs, this is also a PPR. I got your boy, Haley, and then I have Kevin Smith, and I've got Bradshaw.
Who's the first guy?
Haley.
Hello?
Bradshaw.
You go with
Hello
over those two. The injury question mark for the other two makes me start Hello this week. He's got a good matchup anyway.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't like Hello, but you know, without the upside.
Well, if you had him in last week, you should love him.
No, I did, though. That's a problem.
There you go. Now you got a chance to redeem yourself. You put him in this week.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Listen to your show all the time. Keep up the good work for us.
You got it, man. Good luck with the game this week. Ay, ay, ay. I mean, I'm on Bradshaw. We'll get to them later. But, you know, let's get this one out of the way, Rev. Indianapolis traveling into New England, and New England's pretty much going to be able to name their own score. I think you know the cast of characters. There are must-starts here. Welker, Brady, Gronkowski. I like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis this week. He scored twice last week. He can expect more than 14 carries today, which is what he got last week. I do expect Vereen to steal some of the carries, as I mentioned before, when the game gets out of control. But the law firm's going to score, and he's probably going to hit for 70, 80 yards against the sad sack Colts. The only guy in Indianapolis that I like this week is Pierre Garçon, believe it or not. He hasn't done a lot all year. Quarterback situation killing him, the rest of the team killing him. But this is a weak secondary, as we all know. And in Orlovsky, at least they have a quarterback who's better than Curtis Painter as far as launching the ball downfield goes. And I think Garçon's going to get open for at least one long grab. I could see 70, 75 yards and a touchdown for Garçon today. I mean, man, they're going to be throwing the ball all over the place. And good day for New England's defense. I like them against the punchless Colts, you know, maybe bringing back a pick six or a fumble recovery for a touchdown. This is the week of all weeks to start the Patriots' defense. I could see them getting something done. The dud here is Joseph Addai. He's questionable in more ways than one, injury-wise and ability-wise. He's just not worth it. He had just 7 carries for 23 yards last week, and he was clearly behind the sleeper, Donald Brown. We've seen signs of life from this guy who we loved coming out of college. Didn't do anything last year, but he's got 4.7 yards per carry this year, and all of a sudden he's the go-to back after looking awful in his debut season. Look, New England's defense isn't invincible. Maybe late in the game, busts off a couple of runs, maybe takes a pass. 60 total yards and a touchdown is possible. Then again, Indianapolis winning this game is impossible. I have the Pats winning this game easily, Rev, 38-10. And I think Indy will be lucky if that's the score. What do you got?
I'm going to be a little bit more conservative here. I want to say New England beats them 33-14.
I think that's fair. And all of a sudden, Rev, we have a nationally televised game featuring the Denver Broncos. I wonder why. What's going on in that one?
Well, what's going on here is Percy Harvin, and he's my stud this week. You know, while some people might be worried about Harvin in this matchup, since Champ Bailey will be waiting for him on the other side of the line, that shouldn't be a concern. The fact is, Harvin moves around a lot, and although his best position is the slot, he is effective on the outside as well as taking carries like a running back would in the backfield. He's averaging 7 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown over his past 2 games, and not to mention the fact that he almost returned a punt all the way for a score last Sunday. I think Percy Harvin, I think the offense is going to revolve around him this week, especially with Adrian Peterson out once again. Hey, listen, I like Tim Tebow also in this game. His production has gone down a bit over the past 3 weeks, but he's still averaging over 18 fantasy points per game. And, you know, while the Vikings are strong at defending the run, they really don't have much experience facing the read option, that read option offense that Tebow runs. The dud here is Mr. Toby Gerhart. He did score a touchdown last week, but he averaged under 3 yards per carry, and he's not making people miss. And also, I think the other duds here are anybody else not named Eric Decker among the Denver wide receivers, whether you're talking about Demaryius Thomas, Daniel Fells, Eddie Royal, sit them all. Tebow only has eyes for Eric Decker in this running-based attack. The sleeper here, of course, is Mr. Eric Decker. E.D. is making a comeback to his old stomping grounds where he played as a Golden Gopher. He will be extra motivated. He has 3 touchdowns in his last 4 games. The Vikings are banged up in the secondary as safeties Hussein Abdullah and Tyrell Johnson have both been placed on the IR. And as we know, cornerback Chris Cook remains suspended. I look for another miracle comeback here on the part of the Denver Broncos. I'll go Denver 22, Minnesota 21.
Yeah, I have Denver winning this game 21-16. I just think, you know, let's see the Tebow magic, but I don't think we're going to need it today. I think they're going to win this game. I like Christian Ponder, but not yet, not with a lack of weaponry. And, Rev, you hear anything about this illness that Leslie Frazier says isn't a migraine as far as Percy Harvin goes? He's going to be all right, right?
I heard that he's going to be fine. He underwent some tests. But I didn't hear anything lately over the past 24 hours that would indicate that he's not playing. So I'm guessing that he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I checked the injury wire, obviously, at 11:30 or 11:45 when it comes out. But right now it's safe to have Harvin in there. Let me ask you another Minnesota question, sort of off the wall. Are we going to see Joe Webb, the wide receiver, this week?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hearing. You know, I mean, he's a guy that, well, at this point, he's the number two quarterback in Minnesota. You know, and they might have some packages prepared for him.
He might be the number two wide receiver.
He might be used at wide receiver as well. And there's a lot you can do with him, you know, in terms of maybe running some wildcat or something. Hey, you know something? With Adrian Peterson out, I think it would behoove the Minnesota Vikings to get kind of innovative. And so if they can use him somehow, some way, even with Ponder at quarterback or in a wildcat situation, you know, or something like that, I mean, I think Mr. Webb can help them.
I mean, I completely agree, and look who they're playing. I think when you look at the game film for the upcoming week and you're looking at Tim Tebow, doesn't it have to strike you like, hey, we have a guy who's pretty mobile in his own right, and Joe Webb, why don't we start doing some of that stuff? Because, you know, frankly, we don't have a lot of wide receiving options here, so I expect, you know, a Webb-Harvin Wildcat setup to feature probably a little more than we think, although not as much as, obviously, the Tebow setup goes, but I think it's going to be an interesting game to watch from a non-traditional, you know, running and throwing standpoint. Speaking of running, boy, oh boy, there's going to be a lot of running in this game. Carolina going down to Tampa. An interesting note here that Tampa recalled quarterback Rudy Carpenter. That's right, a Rudy Carpenter sighting, which to me means they are very worried about the shoulder, I guess the thumb, everything else that's going on with quarterback Josh Freeman. You know, he is going to be a legitimate game-time decision. And, you know, look, Coach Raheem Morris says that he's been taking mental reps all week, even though he hasn't been participating in practice. You know, look, I mean, mental reps, that's one step below playing Madden 2012 as far as I'm concerned. Mental reps, come on, man. Either you're in or you're not. But the stud in this game is the other quarterback, Cam Newton. Oh, he'll pass the ball, maybe 220, 235 yards and a touchdown. But I'm telling you right now, he is going to be running wild, 50, 60, 70 yards and a touchdown against just an atrocious Tampa Bay rush defense that seems to not be able to stop anybody. They're so poor, I think there's room to use both D'Angelo Williams and Turf Toe Jonathan Stewart in this game. Stewart had 10 carries for 70 yards last week. D'Angelo had 15 for 69 and a couple of touchdowns. Easily expect 160 yards combined from both those guys and a couple of scores thrown in there. It's just a matter of who gets them against Tampa. think you can expect at least 100 yards and a touchdown from the blunt force trauma, LeGarrette Blount. Carolina's not much better than Tampa as far as the run is concerned, and Blount's gone over 100 yards in back-to-back weeks. I don't think he's going to have any trouble doing that against Carolina. The receiver to own, obviously, Steve Smith. He'll find the end zone. He'll have 80 yards. His problem is that Carolina is going to be running the ball so well, there won't be a need to pass the ball all day. And I think also at wide receiver, you ride the hot hand of Mike Williams from Tampa. After only scoring in week one until a couple of weeks ago, he's got touchdowns in back-to-back games after that eight-week drought. There's no reason to stop now. Play the hot hand. Go with Mike Williams. He's finding the end zone. That means he's yours to use. The dud here, don't like saying it, but it's got to be Greg Olsen. The man is ice cold in his last three games. As much as you should ride a streak of a guy like Williams, you got to avoid the ones like Olsen. He hasn't done anything. He needs to show me something before I trust him as my tight end, again, fantasy-wise. I'm going back to the well with my sleeper. I'm going to go with Brandon LaFell again. He had five grabs last week, and now he's been anointed the starter. If Tampa pays too much attention to Smith, Smith's probably going to get some work done anyway, but that'll leave some work for Brandon LaFell. He'll be the beneficiary. I'm thinking it's not outrageous to assume maybe five or six grabs for 60 yards. If he finds the end zone, it's a bonus. I think this is going to be a higher scoring game than most people. I have Carolina winning it 34-28. Rev, what do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I like Carolina as well. It really bothers me that, you know, Josh Freeman is a game time decision. Even if he does play, you don't know how healthy he is. I'm going with Carolina here, 34-20.
Yeah, 34 seems to be the magic number. I like Cam Newton a lot today. I think he's a guy, a top five guy. All right, go Bronx. One more question from him. He needs two in a non-PPR league. Ryan Matthews, Tolbert, Sean Green, Kevin Smith, Roy Helu. Man, don't even make me say Brandon Jacobs' name. Bronx, come on now. I'm not. You cross him off the list. But he needs two among those other guys. I sort of like Matthews and Helu, to be honest with you. I don't dislike Sean Green, and I love Kevin Smith, but I'm a little worried about his injury. And in a shootout game, we may see a lot more Maurice Morris catching the ball. I'm going with Matthews and Helu out of these guys, Rev. How about you?
Yeah, I do like Kevin Smith, but again, you don't know how healthy he is. You know, I think I'll definitely go with Helu here. And I have like what I've seen out of Matthews recently. He's coming off of another 100-yard effort last week. And really, when you take a look at that Jacksonville defense, I mean, they're banged up at multiple spots.
Yep.
So I think he has a chance in that game. I'll go with Matthews and Helu.
All right, so we're in agreement. Dazed and Confused, non-PPR league. He needs one. Dwayne Bowe, Tampa Bay Mike Williams, or Antonio Brown. I myself am going with Mike Williams.
Yeah, but what are you going to get from the quarterback position? I mean, is Freeman going to play? Is he healthy if he does play? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of questions with the quarterback there. I like Bo, by the way, this week also, but I think I'm going to stick with Antonio Brown. He's the most consistent out of the three, in my opinion, and I'll go with consistency here.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm going with the fact that I think Freeman will tough it out, and I like the way Mike Williams is playing of lately. More from Go Bronx. In his non-PPR, Jordy Nelson or Hakeem Nicks? I'll take this. Both these guys are hit and miss, and both these guys, as far as I'm concerned, are the number two choice on their teams. I mean, anyone who thinks Nicks is Eli Manning's number one choice hadn't been watching the Giants. Victor Cruz is the guy he goes to. That being said, man, I see Jordy Nelson having a big day today among other receivers, and I'm down on Nicks. I don't like what I've seen from him lately. I'm going with Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I'm going with Jordy Nelson also. I mean, they're going to have plenty
no
of opportunities
question.
To score there, and Rodgers loves going to Nelson, especially in the red zone area. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Fred Davis or Jake Ballard, there's no choice. It's Fred Davis.
Yeah, Ballard hasn't done anything lately. Nothing.
To disappear of late. You were mentioning quarterback situations, Rev. I think we definitely have what we'd call a situation brewing in Chicago with this quarterback matchup we're going to see. Ty Palko, Kyle Orton, who knows? It'll start out being Palko, but I actually anticipate seeing Kyle Orton in this game against Caleb Haney, who I actually think is going to have a rebound week and succeed, Rev. How do you break this one down?
Well, I do like the Bears' defense in this one. Chicago ranks third in takeaways, and KC has turned it over 7 times in the last 2 games with Tyler Palko at the helm. And things won't be much different, I think, even if Kyle Orton gets in there at some point. And so, you know, he's going to need some time to adjust to his new surroundings. I do like Dwayne Bowe also. Although his effort comes and goes, Dwayne Bowe has put up numbers despite the presence of Tyler Palko. He's caught 7 passes in each of his last 2 games with 87 yards versus the Pats and 69 yards versus the Steelers. Also, Chicago is allowing the 3rd most passing yards in the league, so I think Dwayne Bowe has a chance here. The dud, and I know you like this guy, but I'm not really as high on him, and that's Johnny Knox. You know, although the 3rd-year pro has had a resurgence in his last 2 games, the Chiefs have been doing a pretty good job of keeping opposing receivers under wraps. Deep threat Mike Wallace was held to 17 yards versus KC last week. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Knox does for Chicago. He's like pretty much their Mike Wallace. So I don't think it's crazy to start Johnny Knox. I just think it's a little risky. And the sleeper here, I like Kellen Davis as a deep sleeper. He doesn't catch a lot of balls, but he has scored in back-to-back games. And KC is allowing the 2nd most fantasy points to tight ends. I also like Marion Barber III here. He's been quietly productive. He had 10 carries for 67 yards versus Oakland, and KC is allowing the 4th most rushing touchdowns with 10 on the season. I think this is going to be a relatively low-scoring game, and I'll go with the Bears here, 19-13.
Yeah, I like that crooked number there, 19. I have the Bears winning 22-13. And look, I think Caleb Haney is going to be all right. You know, He did show a little moxie last week after he screwed up a couple of times, and, man, that intentional grounding at the end. I'm sick of that intentional grounding rule. It's ridiculous overall. But, you know, I think he rebounds this week at home. He's got a little nervousness out of his system from the opening night jitters. I think he's going to be okay. I think they'll get it done this week against Kansas City. And, you know, I was a little thrown off at the beginning because we didn't have a call from the 609, but we have one now. What's going on?
Yo, my North Jersey brothers from different mothers, what a shaky, man. We need some information for the young Jersey man here, Buddha Boy, to get himself rolling for the playoffs.
Would you sleep in today? Come on, man.
Yeah, you know what it was. The Leafs were killing me yesterday. You know what I mean? Junior got beat last week, man. They choked again. Del Valle in the 2nd round. Oh, got their ass beat. So, you know what it is. They were undefeated. Coach chokes every year in the 2nd round. Hey.
Oh, man, get him out of there.
Yeah, well, he's a senior, so, you know what I mean? He wants to be a state trooper, so hopefully
he
can get him. Hey, my question is, I have 2 in the PPR, 1 in my other. In the PPR league, we have Calvin Johnson gone. Did some research. We know, Jordy, I can't catch a touchdown Nelson on the road. I heard what you were saying, but struggles on the road. V-Jax, you don't know what he's going to do. You got Colston, who should eventually explode. We don't know. It's a PPR league. You know, again, point every 10 yards rushing or passing, get 100 yards, you get 5 bonus points too. Which one of the 3 do you like? I mean, I got Colston going, so Calvin Johnson. So it's got to be V-Jax, Jordy Nelson, or Colston as my number 2 receiver. I need one of those 3.
I like Colston. I like Colston this week. I mean, he's a guy that they try to get the ball into his hands. And I know that Jimmy Graham is the number 1 target there to try to get the ball to Sproles, but Colston is a guy that they can't ignore. I mean, the guy is just too big. He's too athletic. And I think that in that game between Detroit and New Orleans, I think that those balls are going to be flying all over the place. There are going to be a lot of points that are going to be put up in that game. I'll go with Colston here.
I like Colston a lot. But I like Jordy Nelson a little more at the Giants. Weather's not going to be a problem. And it's been so long since Colston scored. You could say he's due. But I don't like that. I like going with the trend that I see. And look, Colston scored a couple. Nelson scored a couple 2 weeks ago, and he has been worse on the road. But look at the matchup, man. I mean, the Giants are so banged up; they're not going to have any pass rush today. And if you don't get to Aaron Rodgers, you get got. And I think Jordy Nelson is going to go off today. I don't dislike Colston, but I like Nelson a little more. And I would stay away from Vincent Jackson, even though they're playing Jacksonville. You can't trust anything associated with the Chargers. So, you know, it's either Johnson and Colston or Johnson and Jordy Nelson. I don't think you could go wrong either way, man. I think both those guys are going to have solid weeks.
All right, I'll do that. And my other one in that same PPR league is I got Spiller in it right now. I mean, as we all know, we talk every week, guys. Green hasn't really done anything. I think Green's still banged up. Tomlinson's back. You got McKnight. Not sure what's going on with her. Do you like me taking a chance? Again, it's PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown. Going with Spiller this week, thinking he might get the bulk of the carries and maybe a chance to score against Tennessee because what's it called? Green just hasn't found the end zone. He's kind of stuck on 70, 80 yards. Watch him go off for me because I don't play him. But what's your feeling on that between Spiller and Sean Green?
It's a legitimate question. I think between his rushes and his receptions, Spiller is going to have a decent day. You know what? If you're tired of Sean Green, and I don't blame you if you are, I can't blame you for starting C.J. Spiller over him this week if you're in a PPR league only. Rev?
Yeah, I think Spiller makes some sense this week. I mean, look, you have to look at that Buffalo offense. They had a resurgence last week. Do they keep this up? Tennessee doesn't have the strongest defense. They are playing at home. And their quarterback is a streaky guy. I'll gamble on the fact that I think Fitzpatrick has another good week, and I think that Spiller is going to have a lot of opportunities to make some points, especially in a PPR format. I think you're okay there with Spiller.
Yeah, Jersey, to me it comes down to I think both guys are probably going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 85 yards, but
right.
To me it's who has the better opportunity to score, and I see at least 14, 17 more points being scored in that Buffalo game than the Jet game. I mean,
yeah,
I could be wrong. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game.
Yeah, I believe the same with you. Hey, in my standard league, right now, I already got 9.3 points from Cooper. I started him on Thursday, okay? So the problem is I got Steve Johnson, who I didn't start last week, and I still won last week. But with Macklin also on IR, I can choose from either Stevie Johnson, I can choose from Lance Moore, or I can choose from Torrey Smith, standard league. I need one of those three to be my second receiver. Who do you like out of those three?
Rev, go ahead.
I think you ride the hot hand, and you go with Stevie Johnson. I mean, the guy looked terrific versus Darrell Revis. He put on a lot of double moves. The guy looks like he's in rare form right now. You got to go with the hot hand.
Well, I mean, as hot as Johnson was, hard to be hotter than Lance Moore. He had two touchdowns last game.
But they don't play Lance Moore a lot. They take him out of the ball game a lot. I think
The bottom line with Lance Moore is that the next time he has back-to-back productive weeks will be the first time he does it. So I think forget that. And look, man, say what you want about the Browns. They could defend the pass. I mean, they don't give up a lot of deep passes. So you could throw Torrey Smith out, throw Lance Moore out, and look what you're left with. You're left with the guy who shoots himself, Stevie Johnson.
Do you think
he'll hold on to the touchdown pass this week when you have him in.
Exactly. Do you think Finnegan could shut him down? Will Finnegan be on him? Because Finnegan shut down Steve Smith the year.
But if Revis couldn't shut down Stevie Johnson, what makes you think Finnegan is going to?
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? Courtland Finnegan is the whole world, man.
Right. That's a funny stuff.
I think the bottom line, Jersey, is that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Johnson in this game. You know, even if Finnegan stopped half the targets, he's still going to have six catches.
And I drafted him higher than those guys. Yeah, and I did draft them higher than those guys. I drafted them in the seventh round.
Forget about where you draft guys at this point, man. Forget it. All bets are off. Play who's going to score most, not who you drafted.
I'll keep C.B. Johnson. The last question. I do have Kevin Smith now. This is my last one. Standard league. I got Chris Johnson and I got Kevin Smith. My other option is either Tate or Hillis. I've taken Ben Tate out of the equation to not even be in the equation against Atlanta. So it's between Hillis and Kevin Smith. The problem is Hillis plays 4-15. Kevin Smith does not play till 9:20, or excuse me, 8:20, the late game today. Who do you like, man? I mean, do I gamble and keep Kevin Smith in there? Or what's your guys? What's your input? That's my last question. The standard league.
Who is the fourth guy? Was there a fourth guy?
Well, you have Ben Tate, who I took out of the equation because Atlanta usually shuts the run pretty good. And
yeah,
flip up
right.
More. So basically it's between Peyton Hillis or Kevin Smith as my second running back to just start your running backs. So
yeah, that's a tough one because Hillis is going against Baltimore, and last time I checked, they're pretty good against the run.
Yeah, he did good last year, but hey, last year's a different year. Eagles had a better record last year, too, than they did this year, so, you know.
Go ahead, Ref.
No, I was going to say, if you want to swing for the fences and you're in a tough matchup where you need the guy with the upside to be in your lineup, you go with Kevin Smith. But if you think that, you know, you can go with a guy that just is going to give you, like, a limited amount of points and just get you through, then you go with Peyton Hillis. I usually go with the upside. So in this case, I think I'll go with Kevin Smith in a game where a lot of points should be scored. And if Kevin Smith actually stays healthy enough to finish that game, I think that he's going to have plenty of opportunities to do some damage this week.
I agree with you, Rev. I would not start Hillis against the Ravens. I don't like it at all. I don't like Hillis as a ball player anymore this season. I don't like what's going on in Cleveland as far as that running back situation. Look, wait as long as you can to find out about the health of Kevin Smith. But as of right now, I think he's going to play. He might not play as many snaps as you want, but I still think he'll get more done than Peyton Hillis today.
Well, the guy I'm going against, he's got Stafford. He's got he's got Forte. I forget who his second running back is, but he has Antonio Brown of Pittsburgh. He's got A.J. Green of Cincinnati. I forget who his tight end.
He's got a good team. He's got a good team. So you got to swing for the fences.
And he's got Chicago's defense. Now, I have the Steelers' defense. I have Casey. You know, I have, I have Tom Brady. I got Chris Johnson. I could go like either Hillis or what's his name, Kevin Smith. So, and I'll go with Steve Johnson. And I'm going to go with Fred Davis over Kellen Winslow. You like that? You like Fred Davis over Kellen Winslow?
Absolutely. Right now, you're going to win your game because of the quarterback situation. I mean, Sam Bradford, even if he plays, he's not going to score any points. So I think you're okay.
He has Matt Stafford as a quarterback.
Oh, Matt Stafford. I thought you said Bradford.
Yeah.
Well,
I might have.
I think you're okay.
All right, and I'll go. You guys both like Fred Davis over Kellen Winslow. Okay,
definitely over Winslow.
I appreciate it, man, guys. Hey, next week hopefully I'm celebrating wins in both leagues in the playoffs because I'm 6-6 in both, tied for second in both, and we have like three guys all with the same record. So thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. Best of luck to you guys too. We'll chat next Sunday.
All right. Thank you very much. Good luck in the games today. Man, it is that time of year where you have the playoffs. 1 hour down, one to go. Fantasy Football Insiders, Ross Ronamus, Ross Mandel, along with the Reverend Ralph Mancini, going through the Week 13 action. And, you know, we're talking about C.J. Spiller. Let's do those Bills hosting the Tennessee Titans in what could be a pretty entertaining game. Hey, Chris Johnson is alive and well. He went off last week. He is a stud this week again. Look, he had a pretty poor Tampa Bay run defense, but the thing is, the Bills aren't much better defending the ground game. 522 yards given up in the last four games. That's a yikes. I think the Tennessee line has to be psyched. I think Chris Johnson's going to try to make up for lost time in this game. He's going over 100 and a score here. I like Stevie Johnson. We were talking about it, and I have him on my team, and I was getting up ready to celebrate when he dropped that pass right over the middle last week that would have killed the Jets. But I think he showed he's the most dangerous Bill by far with Fred Jackson out of the lineup. Sadly, he also showed he can drop the ball and shoot himself in the leg and make a fool of himself at the same time. But my money is on a Stevie rebound this week. I think he's got something to prove, and I think he'll be able to do it. Cortland Finnegan or anyone else who's covering him. I sort of like C.J. Spiller, but I sort of don't like C.J. Spiller this week. I don't want to put him in the overall dud category, but I'm sort of leaning that way the more I think about it. I know He could either be a wide receiver or a running back, but he really doesn't excel at either one. 22 touches and 70 yards, that's just not getting it done for me. I know we might find the end zone this week, but I can't rely on him that much. If you have a PPR league, you can feel safe to use him. Other than that, I would stay away from him. I think a couple of sleepers this week are the Tennessee wide receivers. I like Nate Washington and Damian Williams this week against an atrocious Buffalo secondary. They've just been awful. I think both these guys could score a touchdown. And look, if you're desperate, I know he bonked me over the head last week because I was a little bit high on him, but I like Matt Hasselbeck a little if you're that desperate this week. I like Tennessee in this game, Rev. I think Buffalo continues to spiral. I like Tennessee 31-26 in a pretty good game.
I like Tennessee as well. I'll go with the Titans 27-23.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make of Chris Johnson? Is it the line that's suddenly woken up, or is it Chris Johnson himself, or is it both?
I think at this point you handle Chris Johnson this way. If he has a good matchup, you start him. If he doesn't, you probably don't start him. I mean, he's had good games against teams that have been pretty weak up the middle, and I think in this case, I mean, against Tampa Bay, I mean, he was terrific. And again, they don't have much. They've been ravaged by injuries in that department in the run defense. And I think this week he's got another great matchup where the Bills are also decimated in the interior. So I think at this point, I think with a good matchup, you start Chris Johnson.
Absolutely. Okay, let's hit the chat room, Rev. We got to heating up. Let's see here. We got pick three, so sit one out of these. Paulie Wally wants to know. Maurice Jones-Drew, Ray Rice, Ryan Matthews, or Ahmad Bradshaw. To me, it's simple. You got to sit Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what's happening. Injury-wise, he's questionable. I know the Giants are desperate, but they're not going to risk the long-term health of what's turning out to be by far and away their only running weapon that they have. So, Paulie, I think you definitely sit Bradshaw on that one. Okay. Non-PPR from the boys. What's up, the boys? Non-PPR, he needs two. Vincent Jackson, Roddy White, Michael Crabtree, Greg Little, Stevie Johnson. Roddy White's definitely in. And I think it comes down to Stevie Johnson or Vincent Jackson. I'm going with Stevie Johnson this week, man. I know people are going to expect Vincent Jackson to rebound, but I can't trust the Chargers, Rev. What do you think?
No, you don't trust the Chargers unless you're desperate. And in this case, I'd rather go with Stevie Johnson and Roddy White for sure.
Okay. Another wide receiver question from Paulie Wally. Needs two. Steve Smith, Laurent Robinson, Hakeem Nicks. Who's sitting?
Steve, okay. Well, I can't bench Laurent Robinson. I'm sorry to say this, but I think I'm going to have to bench Nicks. I mean, I know that Miles Austin is supposed to be coming back, is what I heard, even though he missed practice, I think, back on Friday. But even if Miles Austin comes back, I think that, you know, the Cowboys are probably going to try to ease him in during his first game back and what's been a long time now that he hasn't played. And so you got to go with the hot hand. And Laurent Robinson now has about five straight games, I believe, with the touchdown. And so I'll sit Nicks.
That's a tough guy to sit. I mean, look, I understand Laurent Robinson is going off, and I have to actually – I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't start him over Hakeem Nicks. I know he's red hot, and I know they're basically playing in front of a home crowd in Arizona, and I know Tony Romo's hot, but I can't see my way in when the Giants are going to have to be passing a lot. And I know, as I said, Victor Cruz, number one choice. I can't blame you for starting Robinson over Nicks, but I'm not doing it this week. I think it's just it's too much to ask when the Giants have a decent matchup. But, you know, it's definitely
tough.
I understand why you would. Okay. Tubb needs help. He needs two of these guys in a non-PPR league. Nate Washington, who I just talked up a little bit, David Nelson, Jabbar Gaffney, Early Doucette. Got to pick two of those guys, Rev.
Okay. Well, I definitely don't want Early Doucette.
Right.
and I think I'm definitely starting David Nelson. I think that, you know, with a hot Fitzpatrick right now, I think that he's a nice weapon, a nice big weapon over the middle. So to me, it comes down to the other guy. It's going to be either Washington or Gaffney. I'll go with Washington just because of the matchup. I like his matchup better versus that Buffalo secondary, which is just the pits. So I'll go with Washington and Nelson here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Nelson's going to have a lot of room to work underneath as Stevie takes some attention away there. And he has a follow-up as a quarterback question to me. Big Ben or Carson Palmer? I think it's definitely Big Ben. Yes, Rev?
Yes, yes.
All right. Hope we helped you out there, Tub. The Boys has a question. Non-PPR needs one for a flex. Vincent Jackson, Darius Haywood-Bey, Mark Ingram, Roy Helu, Kendall Hunter, or Fred Davis? I'm going Roy Helu here.
Helu is the guy for me, too.
Yeah, I like Kendall Hunter, but let's not get crazy. Dazed and Confused, PPR flex question, one of these. Turf Toe Johnny Stewart, Plaxico, or Nate Washington? PPR, Plaxico, you know, he may have two catches, two touchdowns. I'm still going with the running back, and ironically, the running back could have the most receptions out of that group.
Yeah, you got to love that matchup versus Tampa Bay. Chris Johnson went off for 190 yards against the Bucs. You got to go with Jonathan Stewart here.
Absolutely. All right, time for an AFC North battle.
Oh, by the way, the Boys now informing us that Austin has been ruled out officially.
I will double check that. Boys, thank you for that info. That definitely increases Laurent Robinson's value, as if it couldn't be any higher. Let's travel to the Three Rivers of Pittsburgh and Heinz Field. Cincinnati coming in, you know, it's time for them to stop making statements and playing competitively and to actually win a game against these division rivals, Rev. Any shot of that happening this week?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a competitive game, but I do like Antonio Brown here as my stud. The man has come on like gangbusters in recent weeks. He's dropped one pass all season, is currently leading the Steelers in targets. Brown has been Mr. Consistency over his past five games with at least 8 fantasy points each week. And now, if he can only score a few more touchdowns, Brown will be a legitimate fantasy stud. For now, he's a solid wide receiver, too. The duds here, I mean, Mendenhall and Benson and Cedric Benson, I mean, they don't have a lot of upside in this game, but they are startable considering that they're going to get about 14 or 15 carries each, and the goal line opportunities certainly makes them startable, in my opinion. But the one guy I wouldn't go near is Jerome Simpson. He's my dud. He was held catchless by Pittsburgh in his previous meeting with the Black and Gold. And plus, outside of his 152-yard performance versus Baltimore in Week 11, where he was playing without A.J. Green at his side, Simpson hasn't done much since Week 8 in terms of catches and yards. Also, Jermaine Gresham had a season-high 9 targets last week, and I think has established himself as the number 2 guy, behind Green in the passing game. So I'm not too high on Mr. Simpson. The sleeper here, I'll go with Emmanuel Sanders. He returned from a knee injury last week, and I think he's going to be the number 3 guy. I know that they're saying that he's sharing duties with Hines Ward, but I think, you know, the more and more Sanders gets experience out there as the number 3 guy, I think, you know, the more and more Hines Ward will be pushed into the background. Nate Clements, he tweaked his hammy in practice from Cincinnati. He's their best cornerback, and I think that's going to force Cincy to maybe shove their safeties, Chris Crocker and Jabril Wilson, into a slot corner position, which bodes well for Emmanuel Sanders. I think that he's going to see quite a few targets this week. I do like Pittsburgh and what should be a very competitive game. I'll go Steelers 28, Cincy 24.
Yeah, I have the Steelers winning by a little bit more. I have it 31-26. I kind of like Cincinnati, but I just don't think they're ready to, like, win a game on the road in Pittsburgh. And, you know, for my money, Pittsburgh has a lot to prove after their offensive showing last week, which was, in fact, offensive. Let's get back to the chat room for a couple. needs one for a flex. Boy, it's a tough one. A.J. Green, Stevie Johnson, Laurent Robinson, Ryan Matthews, James Starks, Kevin Smith. You can throw out Starks and Smith as far as I'm concerned. Injury risk and not enough opportunity, respectively. So it comes down to A.J. Green, Stevie Johnson, Laurent Robinson, or Ryan Matthews, and it's non-PPR, Rev. Who do you take in?
I cannot sit A.J. Green. And if it's a non-PPR, you're looking for that guy that gives you the best chance to score a touchdown. And A.J. Green is just one of those guys that is just better than most defensive backs out there. You just throw the ball up high and watch him go get it. I'm going to go with A.J. Green here.
So you like his potential to catch a touchdown more than you do the fact that Matthews is going to get more touches possibly?
Matthews is the type of guy that, I mean, I think he'll have a good game this week, but I'm not 100% sure of it. I don't want to bank on a San Diego Charger. And Matthews is a guy that, you know, does fumble the ball. He does get nicked up. And, you know, when they get down by the goal line, who knows? Maybe they'll give the ball to Tolbert, and maybe they're going to throw the ball for Antonio Gates. Although I do like Matthews, I feel better with Green.
Yeah, to me it's between Green and Laurent Robinson. I mean, he's the one that they're looking for pound down there. He's scoring touchdowns. But Ryan Matthews, to me, is quickly becoming a between-the-30s type of running back. I mean, he's not finding the end zone. He's getting hurt. He's dropping the ball. He's not reliable to me. And I know he did it last week, but I'd like to see him do it, you know, 3 or 4 week stretch. You know, one game, finishing the game upright doesn't make a player. And that's indicative of the San Diego mentality. It's like, oh, look what I did. I made one great play. Well, you know what? The game's 60 minutes, guys. And I think guys like A.J. Green and Laurent Robinson are playing full games and scoring touchdowns, so I wouldn't blame you for going either one of those two. Matt Hasselbeck or Carson Palmer, Rev, I already tuned in with this. I like Hasselbeck because of the matchup. What do you think?
Yes, I like Hasselbeck as well. I think that they need this game. I think he's got a great matchup versus that Buffalo secondary. I think that he'll do some good things this week.
Okay, interesting couple of questions here. Randy Gugino wants to know, James Jones over your man, Nate Burleson. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'll go with James Jones here. I mean, these are both secondary receivers. But if I'm going to roll the dice with one of them, I'm going to roll the dice with the guy who's playing with Aaron Rodgers. And so Burleson is very, very sporadic, and I think Jones is the better option here.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of James Jones, so I'm going to stick with him, although I think both guys have the potential to bust out. I just think that I'd rather go with the team. I don't know, you know? I mean, I'd rather go with the team playing my Giants, who are not showing a lot of signs of life. All right, you knew it was time. It's 9:17 East Coast time, and we got our first Tim Tebow question. Who are you going with this week, Rev? Timmy Football or the man you love to hate on your fantasy team, Phillip Rivers?
Oh, boy, this is a tough one. You know, I actually like Rivers' matchup. Man, and I like Tebow this week as well. You know something? I'll go with Tebow here. I don't know. I guess I'll take Tebow just because of the running yards that he'll give you. He'll give you a better chance of scoring those rushing touchdowns, which are so valuable. I'll go with Tebow here, but not by much.
I agree, not by much, but I'll still choose pretty much anybody over anyone on the Chargers. I'm so sick and tired of that team. Another quarterback question, this one a little more interesting as far as I'm concerned. Matt Stafford on the road in New Orleans in a shootout, or Tony Romo on the road, and I'm using air quotes on the road, in Arizona against the Arizona Cardinals?
I'll go with Stafford here because I think he'll need to throw the ball more than Romo will. I think that although the Cowboys will put up points in that game, I also think that they're going to be able to run the ball. And so I think whereas Romo will probably put up the ball maybe between, you know, 25 to 30 times, I think Stafford might have to put up the ball maybe close to 50 times. So I'll go with Stafford.
Yeah, I'm going with Stafford too. And I'm telling you, Cowboy fans out there, you better watch yourself today. Stop looking ahead to the Giant game in 2 weeks. Arizona will play hard today against you, and you better watch yourself. That's all I'm saying. Tricky wicket today for the Dallas Cowboys. All right, one more, and we'll hop back into the games. Needs one, non-PPR. The boys needs one. Knicks, Hakeem Knicks, Victor Cruz, Nate Washington, Antonio Brown. I am telling you, the torch is passed. It's Victor Cruz, number one receiver for the New York Giants. I'm going with him.
Yeah, Eli Manning loves him. You got to go with Victor Cruz.
Okay, dazed and confused. I lied. I'll get yours in now. Needs one in a PPR league. Jabbar Gaffney, Reggie Wayne, or your man from Louisville, Mr. Douglas on Atlanta. Are you wild about Harry?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's hard to trust Wayne with Orlovsky throwing him the football.
I know.
I can't. I don't know what you're going to get out of Orlovsky. It's probably something really bad. I'll go with Gaffney here. I know what he'll give me. He's been consistent over the past few weeks. I'll go with Gaffney.
Agreed. In a PPR league, Gaffney is the guy to have. Let's see where we're at. South Beach, Oakland, traveling across the country for an early game. Buyer beware, kind of like Miami here. But, you know, we have an interesting matchup. It's a Bush versus Bush matchup in this one. Michael or Reggie, take your pick. Both guys are number one running backs this week. Both guys are studs. Michael Bush getting a major workload. That's not going to stop against Miami, even though they have been playing decently against the run. And as far as Reggie goes, he may even have a better day. The Raiders have given up over 600 yards in the last four games on the ground. And as an added bonus, you know, Reggie Bush is actually, believe it or not, getting the red zone carries deep inside opposing territory. I think a 120 and a touchdown for Reggie Bush today as far as total yards go. We were talking Brandon Marshall up before. I love him this week. No trouble Christmas shopping because the man owns so many targets. That's right, folks. He's averaging nearly 10 a game. Even if Oakland defends the pass well, you know, he's going to catch enough to put up solid fantasy numbers. It's just sheer volume. The guy gets the ball thrown his way all the time. He's making great catches with guys trying to choke him out, MMA style. He's all over the place. You got to go with Brandon Marshall. The duds in this game are the tight ends. Kevin Boss let me down last week. I thought he was ready to have a decent game. He did not. One catch, 8 yards. He is not a factor until proven otherwise. And then Anthony Fasano, he just doesn't see enough targets to be reliable. I know people always notice when he scores his touchdowns and think that he's going to do it again, but he really doesn't. I don't think there's a risk in starting and need for the risk to start Anthony Fasano in this game. The sleeper here, man, I've given this guy his knocks, but I have to give him some props. He's playing hard. He's playing pretty well, and that's Darius Haywood-Bey. With Denarius Moore and Jacoby Ford out, the DHB will have a shot to impress me. Miami hasn't been invincible of late defensively, and I think Carson Palmer is going to look to Hayward Bay at least 7 or 8 times during this game, so he's going to have the opportunities because there aren't a lot of other options as far as the Raiders' offense goes. I like Miami to continue their resurgency and win this game 23-20, Rev. I think another entertaining game here.
I have a similar score. It hurts me to say this, but Miami is playing well. And I think that they're going to move the ball on that Oakland defense. I see Miami winning this game 24-21.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be impressed. I wrote them off as dead. I thought Sperano should be fired. But the bottom line is, despite their awful start, this team has played hard. And a lot of teams with more talent, you hear me, Philly? Hear me, San Diego? Have cashed in their chips and are not playing hard after a couple of things went wrong. So, Rev, what's your opinion on Tony Sperano? Is he coming back?
I don't think he's coming back. I think they're just going to probably want to change his scenery there, but they are playing hard for him. So I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to bring him back. But I would probably say more no than yes. And unless Miami runs the table here and wins the rest of their games, I don't see him coming back.
Yeah, I don't either, but I think, you know, as opposed to what, if he had gotten fired when they were 0-1 whatever, I think now with the way that other coaches have seen their teams not play so hard for them, I think GMs and owners around the league are seeing that Miami has played hard for him regardless, and I think he's ensured himself pretty decent shot of landing another job down the line, be it as an assistant or a top guy somewhere else. All right, Rev, your Ravens. Tricky matchup here, traveling on the road to their former stomping grounds in Cleveland. What do you got for us in this one? Are they going to light it up fantasy-wise?
Yeah, look, this is a big game for Baltimore. They really have to prove themselves on the road. We've seen, you know, after big wins where they lost against Jacksonville and they lost against Seattle. So this is a huge game and I think a tough game for Baltimore. As far as studs, duds, and sleepers go, really, outside of Ray Rice and the Baltimore defense, there's not a lot of studs to go around here. I guess I'll go with Anquan Boldin as a stud. I mean, he's not putting up outworldly numbers, but he's usually good for about 6 to 8 fantasy points. The Browns are allowing the least amount of fantasy points to wide receivers so far in 2011. But, you know, the emergence of Torrey Smith as a deep threat will help loosen up coverage on Boldin. And plus, Coach Harbaugh is looking to incorporate speedster Lee Evans more into the offense, which I think should help Boldin. So I'll go with him as my stud. The dud here, Joe Flacco is my dud. He hasn't been too shabby lately. In fact, he's thrown for over 250 yards in 4 of the last 5 weeks. But Cleveland has only allowed 3 passing scores since week 5. So you'll probably have to be happy with like 1 touchdown pass from Flacco if he has any at all this week. The other dud here is Peyton Hillis. It was great to see him back last week, but even though he gained 65 yards rushing, he only averaged 3.4 yards per carry, and the Ravens allow the 5th fewest fantasy points to running backs. Not a good matchup. I'd stay away from him. And the sleeper here is Greg Little. He's caught 5 or more passes in his last 3 games. He scored his first touchdown of the year versus Cincy last week. He's probably not going to score again, but he's going to see a healthy dose of targets. I think this is going to be a tough game, but I think that Baltimore is going to grind one out here. I like the Ravens 17-12 over Cleveland.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a low-scoring game, and I worry because Baltimore always seems to stumble after a big win. So, again, those of you wanting to hop on that Ravens bandwagon, be careful and pay attention to what's happened in the past. All right, we're going to hit the phones. We've got 313 on the line waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging in there. What do you got?
Not a problem. Any time for you, gentlemen. The expertise is invaluable. How you doing?
Very
hey,
well,
how you
man.
Doing? How you doing?
Excellent. I need a compelling argument, and I need some consensus this week.
Okay.
So here we go. I'm vying for the bye in the playoffs. I'm trying to earn this bye and win the division, and I have Kevin Smith. I really want to play Kevin Smith because I feel as if he goes, he's going to have a productive day. But what I did was I went and picked up Mark Ingram as a backup because I won't have any other options in that time slot. But my question to you guys is, should I just go ahead and go forward and play the 4th wide receiver in Anquan Boldin, or should I wait out that Kevin Smith-Mark Ingram conundrum?
I'll tell you. It's tough with Kevin Smith. I mean, I agree with you. I think if he plays, he will produce. But you don't know, is that going to be for a quarter? Is it going to be for a half? Is Maurice Morris going to steal a lot of receptions? I'm telling you right now, I think Mark Ingram has a good week, as good as he had last week. I know he made a lot of those yards in garbage time. But, hey, your fantasy team doesn't care when it happens, as long as it happens. And, you know, I think 15 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown is definitely a possibility for Mark Ingram. Rev, I don't know where you ring in on this.
Yeah, I agree. I like what I saw out of Mark Ingram. And I'm kind of in the same situation in one league myself where I do have Kevin Smith and I do have Mark Ingram and I do need a flex back in that particular league. And I'm going with Mark Ingram myself because, again, I don't know how long Kevin Smith is going to last out there. I want to actually see him put up 4 quarters of good football before I can comfortably start him without any worries. And let's face it, you know, the Lions' defense isn't the same without Namakon Sue. And I like what I saw out of Ingram last week, so I think he's your safest bet here.
But, Rev, are we both in agreement that Ingram or Smith better than Boldin?
Yes. I mean, as I just mentioned, I just finished previewing that game. I think that's going to be a low-scoring game. I don't think there are going to be a lot of studs in that game. And Anquan Boldin, I mean, there's always a chance where he can get you a score. But if you're in a PPR league, I don't think he's going to get you a ton of catches. I think I'd go with one of the running backs over
Yeah,
Boldin.
I would too. I mean, Cleveland's no joke defending the pass. I think this is a Ray Rice game for the Ravens.
Well, that's a good thing for me also because I have Ray Rice also.
Well, there you go. You know, I think you avoid Boldin, go with Ingram. It's a solid pick. You know what I'm saying? And that's that. Having guys on that like your team is why you're fighting for a bye week, man.
Say that again.
I said having good guys like that to plug in is why you're fighting for a bye week and not on the outside looking in.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Oh, and also I tune in to you guys every Sunday morning.
Well, of course, that's number one. That goes without saying, man.
Exactly. Okay, gentlemen, I'm gonna take a close look at this thing, and I think I'm leaning towards Mark Ingram. I always appreciate the advice. Thanks, fellas.
You got it, man. Good luck this week. All right, Rev. I mean, that, you know, it's a tough call when you have that going on. I mean, you want to start. Yeah, I know you. I know you picked up Kevin Smith. Great move, and I know you want to put him in there, but you can't just do it for the sake of doing it. You got to go with the safe route, you know. I mean, Kevin Smith could strike out. Or he could hit a triple. I think Mark Ingram's a guaranteed double. I think I'm going with the double.
Yeah, I mean, even if – I mean, Mark Ingram, I think he's a safe bet for about, would you say, at least 10 carries. And if he gets 10 carries, you would say that he's probably going to gain about 50 yards. And I think he's probably going to be the number one option at the goal line. So there's a good chance that he'll score you a touchdown. So although he's not going to hit you a home run or a grand slam – He'll be okay. And really, you're going to be counting on Ingram as a flex back. You know, we're not talking about starting him as your number one or number two. And so if you're counting on him as your flex back, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing 15, 75, and a touchdown. That's what I'm seeing from Mark Ingram. We're going to be seeing a lot of touchdowns at MetLife Stadium. Green Bay coming in. Unfortunately, I think most of those touchdowns are going to be scored by the visiting team, Rev. Or can the Giants hang in this game and continue their string of dethroning the unbeaten? Denver 11-0 a few years ago, New England 16, whatever, 18-0. Can it happen again, Rev?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. look, they're just too banged up, and I could see this being a game where Green Bay jumps out early to a big lead, and then the Giants keep chipping away and put up some nice garbage stats. But, no, I don't give them any chance to win this game. But I do like Eli Manning in this game. Win or lose, Eli keeps on putting up big stats. He registered 26 fantasy points versus the Saints. During that game, he got real hot at one point where he completed 21 straight passes. So you would expect the Giants to be behind in this game, which will force Manning to throw it all afternoon versus a Green Bay secondary that gives up a lot of yards to opponents who play from behind. The stud here outside of Eli, I also like JerMichael Finley. He's been a frustrating player to own, but he gets a plum matchup today versus a big blue defense that is allowing roughly 9 points per week to tight ends on a weekly basis. The Giants have been victims of poor safety and linebacker play and pass coverage, as we saw last week with Jimmy Graham, who had his way with pretty much anyone that New York put on him on Monday night. And so I think the Packers would be nuts not to exploit this matchup. The dud here is James Starks. He's barely been flex-worthy this year. He hasn't topped 75 yards since week two. He's scored one touchdown all season. And plus, he's operating on a tender ankle as it is. Green Bay doesn't like running the ball unless it has to close out a game. And then on top of all of that, John Kuhn has destroyed Starks' value with his cheap one-yard touchdowns. And now there's even talk that Green Bay might be using Brandon Sane. So really, you know, if you have James Starks, I think at this point, I don't think he's startable. I wouldn't start him unless you're really desperate. The sleeper here, and this guy is a bit of a deep sleeper, but I don't hear enough people talking about him, and that's the king, Ramses Barden. The king is back with Mario Manningham out. Barden, I think, will get a chance to build off a promising performance he had versus the Saints, in which he caught four balls for 38 yards. The man is 6'6". He runs smooth routes, and I think he's got a chance here. But I do like Green Bay. I'll go with the Packers 41, the Giants 23.
Yeah, you know, that 40 spot, it's hard to imagine Green Bay not putting up another 40 on the Giants. They're just, they're decimated by injuries, no pass rush. You know, I mean, it's impossible. I almost feel bad for Eli. Were he not getting paid $1 zillion a year? And he has hung in there, but no way the Giants are hanging in this game. I have it 42-28 Green Bay in a shootout. Hit the chat room here. Let's see. Non-PPR flex. Let's do this one. Vincent Jackson or Mark Ingram? That's an interesting question.
Non-PPR flex. Man, you know, I think I'll go with Ingram just because I think he gives me a better chance of scoring.
Yeah, I mean, I will too. I'm not buying into the Chargers. I think they'll probably win a low-scoring game. You can get to that one later. Okay, Bleed Green, Rev. Is that you or is that another Jet fan there? He needs two running backs and a flex. Maurice Jones-Drew, Steven Jackson, Beanie Wells, D'Angelo Williams, Roy Helu, or Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Two running backs and a flex. I'm going MJD, I'm going D'Angelo Williams, and I'm going Roy Helu.
MJD. Who was the second guy again?
Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson.
Against the Niners.
Yeah, that's right. He needs two or three out of these guys. MJD,
two running backs and a flex.
Yeah, I like MJD. D'Angelo has a great matchup as well, and I like Helu also. I'll go MJD, D'Angelo, Helu.
There you go, Bleed Green. Unanimous. Quick one, Rev. Quick hit quarterback, Tony Romo, Cam Newton. Who you got?
Cam Newton.
Yep, Cam Newton's ground ability gets it done in that game. Those quarterback rushing yards are invaluable. Just ask anyone who picked up Tim Tebow. Non-PPR, the boys, needs a flex. Non-PPR, Sean Green, Kevin Smith, Cedric Benson, Brandon Marshall, Antonio Brown.
I think I will go with, Green. I'll go either. I like Antonio Brown, but I'll go with the guy who gives me the best chance to score, and that's either Benson or Green. None of those guys catch any passes, but I guess that doesn't count since it's a non-PPR. I'll go with Brandon Marshall. How's that?
I was getting ready to surprise you by going with the receiver, but I love Brandon
Marshall. I'll go with Brandon Marshall here. He's a big guy. He's hard to cover. And really, the Oakland Raiders on defense just haven't really been able to stop anybody. I'll go with Brandon Marshall.
And boys, I know it's non-PPR, but Marshall is just getting it done. I think he's the guy you go with there. All right, we're caught up in the chat room. Speaking of Steven Jackson, he's traveling to the West Coast. I don't know if Sam Bradford's going to play with that high ankle sprain. He is a game-time decision. I don't think it matters a whole hell of a lot. The stud here is Frank Gore. You know, he had just 14 carries on Thanksgiving against that rough and rugged Ravens run defense. He's rested. He's got to be ready to shred the Rams run defense, which, honestly, anyone could. They're last in the league, almost 160 yards a game on the ground. This is what's known in the business as a fantasy feast, baby. Frank Gore is going to go off today. I like Brandon Lloyd a little bit as far as the Rams go. To me, he's their only offensive player that's worth starting. I know Steven Jackson plays hard, runs hard, works hard, but it's just too much of an ask against the 49er D that's just going to be focused on him all day long. They're going to take him out. So Brandon Lloyd, the guy to go to, three games in a row with a touchdown. The more injuries St. Louis suffers, the better his catches seem to be. He's made some incredible catches this year. I think with all the running that San Francisco is going to do, there's going to be room for Vernon Davis to operate a little bit. He was held to 38 yards against Baltimore, but I'd look for a game more like the one he had before that against Arizona, where he had five grabs for 67 yards and a touchdown. Those numbers seem realistic to me against the Rams. The dud, I mentioned it, is Steven Jackson. You know, I love the guy. He's a hard worker, but there's no one to block. There's no passing game. There's nothing to compliment him on that offense. Plus, throw in the added bonus that he's going against San Francisco's number one rush defense and one that hasn't given up a touchdown on the ground all season. You want to start him, you can expect something like 15 carries for 47 yards, maybe three catches for 20 yards. He's not scoring. It's going to be that type of a day for him and the Rams. The sleeper to me, I'll go back to the well with Kendall Hunter. Why not? I think the Niners could be up in this game. I think every carry they can spare Frank Gore heading into the playoffs is going to help them. I see Hunter coming in with that big lead as Gore chills on the sideline. And the bottom line here to me is Kendall Hunter could actually end up with more fantasy points in this game than Steven Jackson. I wouldn't bet on it, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. I have the Niners winning this game. I don't have the Rams scoring a touchdown. San Francisco 27, the Rams 6. What do you got, Rev?
I'll give you a nice crooked score here. 49ers 27, the Rams 11.
11? Ooh, I'd like to see that yo come up. Oh, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them, and I even have them underlined. The San Francisco defense, obviously, is a must-start today. They're the number one defense in fantasy football this week. They've been great. St. Louis's offense is awful. There's your fantasy matchup. Number one defense of the week is the Niners. All right, let's hop into the chat room, see if we have another couple questions, which we do. No, we don't. We just did that one. Rev, we are up to date. We got one more for you traveling in before we get to the night games. We got Dallas traveling to Arizona. I'm telling you, I smell trouble here for Dallas. What do you got, Rev?
You know something, Dallas should have been smelling trouble last week when they barely beat Miami. I think that this is a game that the Cowboys, I think they're going to be on their P's and Q's for this one. And my stud here is the Cowboys defense. DeMarcus Ware and the boys will be licking their chops versus an Arizona offense that is second only to the Rams in sacks allowed. And plus, even with Kevin Cobb back, we all know that he has trouble reading the blitz. So I love the Cowboys defense this week. And plus, they also got a couple of players back in the secondary, Mike Jenkins, Gerald Sensabaugh. And then, as I mentioned before, Laurent Robinson is a stud for me until further notice. He's got double-digit targets in back-to-back games, and now he's scored in five straight games. I wouldn't be worried about Miles Austin coming back, and now we receive confirmation that Miles Austin is out, which only further cements Laurent Robinson as a five-carat stud here. And also, Chris Beeney-Wells, I think he's startable versus a Dallas run defense that has taken a bit of a step back in recent times. I don't think 100 yards, I don't think that's going to be a given, but I think he should be good for about 75 yards here. The dud is Felix Jones. He's only had a handful of touches in recent weeks. He's strictly a handcuff for DeMarco Murray owners at this point, and I don't think he even should be on your roster in most cases. I don't think he's, again, unless you own DeMarco Murray, I don't think Felix Jones should be on anybody's roster, at least unless it's a really, really deep league. The other dud here is Early Doucette. The guy was a total non-factor last week. And while Dallas' secondary isn't very good, as I mentioned before, they're getting two guys back. And I think it would be safe to expect Cobb to be a bit rusty after about a month and a half on the pine. You know, Doucette may be used as a safety valve for Cobb, who's going to be under heavy duress, but I think he'll probably wind up with something like four receptions for 25 yards. There's not much here, so consider him a dud. And as far as sleepers go, you know, I kept looking at both of these rosters, and really I couldn't come up with a good sleeper here. So I'll tell you usually we stay away from kickers, but I'll tell you that Dan Bailey is a good sleeper here. You know, I know I'm grasping for straws here, but Bailey has made 27 out of 28 field goals, and he's going to be playing in a warm climate versus a Cards team that is giving up the fourth most fantasy points to kickers. I do like Dallas in this game. I'm going to go with the Cowboys 30, Arizona 17.
That's weird. I have 30 also, but I have 26 for Arizona. Let me ask you a fantasy question here. You know, Tony Romo had the banged-up ribs. He's healthy now. He's thrown 21 touchdowns, just 9 interceptions. He's completing passes at about 65% rate. His team's in first place, going to win a tough division. No one thought they would. He's going to get Miles Austin back. Do you trust Tony Romo heading into the late season from a fantasy perspective in the playoffs? And should the Dallas Cowboys trust him? I know they don't have any other options, but can he get it done in the realistic playoffs? Take those two separately, Rev.
I think from a fantasy standpoint, I think you should trust him because, look, the only thing you're worried about with Tony Romo is him making those stupid mistakes. And I think now with the emergence of DeMarco Murray as a guy that the team can lean on, I think that is going to lessen his mistakes. I don't think he's going to have to, you know, take the sort of chances that he's been taking over the past few years, or at least not as many. So I think that from a fantasy standpoint, I think Tony Romo is going to get your points. He's got an embarrassment of riches there. And once he gets Miles Austin back, he's got three premium wideouts. He's got Jason Witten over the middle as his safety valve. And with the running game, I think that Tony Romo is a guy that you'd want to start every week. Now, from a realistic standpoint, Tony Romo, to me, I think that he's got a lot to prove. I mean, when the games get tight, I don't know if he's a guy you can count on. I mean, look, if the Cowboys are playing with the lead and they can lean on that running game and they're playing against a lesser opponent, I think he should be fine. But I think he's certainly got a lot to prove against some of the better teams out there. And, you know, if he's in a situation where he has to throw the ball and he has to bring his team from behind, those are the situations that get me a little nervous about Tony Romo. But I think he's in better shape now than he's been in recent years because of that running game and because of the way the offensive line is playing.
Yep.
So I think he's okay.
I think that you can – I mean, look, you can not only trust him fantasy-wise, but you better because they got the Giants twice, Tampa Bay, and a dead Philly team at home Christmas Eve. So to me, he's got great matchups going through, even if you have your fantasy playoffs – the last week 17. They may lose one more game. I'd be surprised if they lost more than that. And to me, Dallas and New Orleans, maybe Atlanta if they get it straightened out, are the three teams that have a shot to beat Green Bay. I'm tired of hearing about all this San Francisco's going to beat Green Bay business. You cannot beat Green Bay if you cannot put points on the board. And the 49ers can't do it. So I think Dallas, not a lot of pressure on them, flying under the radar a little bit. I think that serves Tony Romo best. I think the matchups he has left in real-time football are going to give him the confidence. And as you said, the O-line and DeMarco Murray definitely, definitely helping Tony Romo. Who knows? Maybe this is a year. I certainly hope not, but it's entirely possible that it is. Let's see. Romo's G-Money says, Romo's been playing well, but he can self-implode at any time. Most quarterbacks can, but I agree with you today. I see a close game with the Cowboys getting by. Woo! We got to, speaking of lighting up the scoreboard, baby, Drew Brees and Matt Stafford going to do it in the Big Easy today. You got Calvin and Colston. You got Brees and Stafford. You got superstar Jimmy Graham. Those are A-list studs this week, people. Lesser studs with the potential to rack up fantasy points? Well, I got to say Kevin Smith has the potential to do it. Until he's not playing, he has the potential. Apparently he's recovered from that ankle injury, and he's looking at 20 touches against a defense that gives up over 370 yards a game. Again, pay attention to the injury report. If you have another viable option like a Mark Ingram or someone steady, put them in there. But Kevin Smith is supposed to play, and as of right now, I'd feel good about him. Darren Sproles, you know he's going to play. You know he's going to have space to operate against the Detroit defense that will be scrambling to contain the Saints all game long. The dud in this one, he's my man, but I got to speak it, Lance Moore. He had 5 catches, 54 yards, and a pair of touchdowns last week. But as I mentioned earlier, he has not had back-to-back solid fantasy outings all season. It's as if Breeze doesn't want to spoil him, or he says, you know what, you had your 2 touchdowns. I'm going to look for someone else. Lance Moore is going to have one of those 3-for-35-yard games or something like that this week. I wouldn't play him. The sleeper, we talked about him, Mark Ingram. 13 rushes, 80 yards, and a touchdown last week during Marv Albert extensive garbage time. But I think there's always a potential for garbage time when the Saints are home. 65 yards and a touchdown is well worth a flex look for Mark Ingram this week. Man, I love the Saints this week. They're going to put up another 40 spot. I have New Orleans 41, Detroit 27. Rev, you got to have a similar score, no?
Yeah, I say New Orleans wins this one and puts up a lot of points as well. I say New Orleans wins 38-31.
That's a fair score, and I hope that happens, as I have Matthew Stafford. You know, we're talking about teams in the fantasy playoffs. We know Drew Brees is reliable. What do you see coming? I mean, if you had one team that you thought could beat the Packers in the NFC, Rev, who are you taking?
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, if Jay Cutler was healthy, I did like the Chicago Bears as that team. But with that not being the case, I think that team would have to be the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have much of a defense. But then again, as you mentioned before, to beat Green Bay, you got to be able to put up points. And really, when New Orleans is rolling, it's hard to stop that team. I mean, they got a plethora of weapons. I think those offenses are very comparable. Now, obviously, nobody's playing as well as Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, again, when Drew Brees is rolling, you know, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who is that can come close to or come close to Aaron Rodgers as he does. So I would have to say the Saints right now, probably the best bet to beat the Green Bay Packers out of the NFC.
What do you think about a team like Atlanta? Can't they pose problems? I'm looking at them flying under the radar, too.
You know something? I don't think Atlanta is as is explosive enough. And the fact that I don't know. I just to me, I think with Atlanta, everything is based off the run. And I don't think Matt Ryan is good enough just to carry the offense on his shoulders where you tell him, hey, you need to put up the ball 50 times in this game. And you need to throw for like 4 or 5 touchdowns in order to beat the Packers. I don't know if he's at that point yet. And I just don't think Atlanta's explosive enough to hang with Green Bay.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I look at their two receivers, if they're both healthy, and Tony Gonzalez and Michael Turner, and I think there's some weaponry there. But we'll see. I mean, that's the exciting thing about it. We're going to see what the matchup ends up. And two teams that are likely, well, one definitely not, one jettisoned their coach, one said to be soon jettisoning their coach, and that's San Diego, North Turner. We'll talk more about that after the game. But can they salvage anything? Can they go into Jacksonville in prime time and salvage one for the old Norv?
You know something? I mean, they're currently on a 6-game losing streak. They're going up against a decimated Jacksonville team that is just banged up all over that defense. You got to like Antonio Gates in this game. He's a shell of his former self, but Gates has put up double-digit fantasy points in 4 of 6 games since Week 7. Plus, the Jags have allowed opposing tight ends to score 6 touchdowns against them this year, and they're averaging about 59 yards a game against them. So the matchup is very, very juicy there for Mr. Antonio Gates. The dud here is the other tight end, Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes boy dropped yet another short touchdown pass in the end zone with no one around him versus Houston last week. He's been getting a ton of targets over the past 2 weeks, 23 to be exact. But outside of a 64-yard effort versus Cleveland, he hasn't gone over 47 yards in any one game. Don't expect big numbers versus a San Diego defense that ranks in the top half of the league versus tight ends. I cannot trust Mercedes Lewis. The guy's playing like a bum. And unless you're really desperate, I would stay far, far away from him, despite the fact that he is getting a lot of targets. The sleeper here, I never thought this guy would be a sleeper, but here it goes, Philip Rivers. Now, I'm listing him as a sleeper because I think that he should only be played or started in your league if the other quarterback you have is Kevin Cobb, Sam Bradford, or Caleb Haney. He only put up 180 yards last week, but he also had a bunch of drops, and he's still on pace for 4,000 passing yards, believe it or not. The other thing that I look at here is that Malcolm Floyd is back this week,
mm-hmm.
And I know that he's been pretty much a bum, but he helps this offense a lot when he's in there because of his sheer size and his athletic prowess. And the other thing to look at here is that there might be some good matchups here for Phillip Rivers to take advantage of. Now, whether he does that or not, I don't know. But rookie Kevin Rutland makes his first NFL start this week, the kid from Missouri, starting in place of William Middleton.
Yep.
So, I mean, there it is. It's all set. It's all set up for Phillip Rivers. They're banged up at the linebacker spot. They have two defensive ends out. Clint Session is out for the season, and they have a rookie cornerback. So you would think that Phillip Rivers should put up some decent numbers here. So I'll put him as my sweeper. And I say that San Diego finally breaks out of their rut and beats Jacksonville 27-20.
I agree with you, Rev. I think it's going to be completely one-sided. I think this is the game where San Diego wins like 34-16, and it's even worse for all the Charger fans when that happens, because you're going to be like, well, where the hell has that been all season? Why can't you play like that more than once every 2 months? And the reason is coaching. I mean, he's got to go. Norv's got to go. Am I wrong? He's out.
Why is he still there now?
I don't know.
Obviously the team's not playing for him. How is the team going to get motivated now that they're out of the playoffs? What's the sense in keeping him in there now? And I think that he not only should get rid of North Turner, but they should get rid of the GM, A.J. Smith, as well. For him to get rid of Marty Schottenheimer and replace him with this Dreck, I mean, that's unforgivable. I mean, the San Diego Chargers were a Super Bowl contender a few years ago, and where are they now?
It's a joke. I mean, this team has enough talent. I know they've been injured. Everyone gets injured. You know, Smith has flown under the radar because Norv's an easy punching bag. But both Norv Turner and Andy Reid have seen their teams flat out quit on them. I think they're being paid the service of being allowed to finish the year. I know Norv's gone. I actually think Andy Reid's going to come back because of all this. Oh, Michael Vick got hurt. Oh, DeSean Jackson's contract. Oh, the defensive coordinator. Whatever, man. Andy Reid and Norv Turner should have been gone before now. And I know Norv's going to go, and it's about time, but I think Reed's going to stay, and as a Giant fan, that's fine with me, man. I don't think that team's going anywhere with him. They tuned him out.
Man, if Andy Reid sticks around, that's a total slap in the face to the Philly fans. I cannot see that happening, man. I just cannot. I think he's been around there too long. I think he needs a change of scenery. And I think that the Eagles need a new voice in the locker room. I think he's got to go. But I'll give you one fantasy tip, though. I think wherever Andy Reid ends up, whether as a coach or an offensive coordinator, I think that you need to look at that quarterback as a good, viable fantasy option, because Andy Reid does do a good job in developing quarterbacks. You just saw Donovan McNabb without Andy Reid has been useless over the past couple of years. So he does know how to develop quarterbacks, but as a head coach, the guy is a dud, and he needs to go.
Well, I'll tell you this, Rev. You ready? I'm already hearing rumblings. Andy Reid coaching the Chargers next season.
I can see that. And if he becomes the coach of the Chargers, watch Phillip Rivers have a big bounce-back season.
Well, it'll be hard for him not to. All right, let's finish up with a chat room question real quick, Rev. The Chicago Bears, good to see him in here, at the flex spot, non-PPR, Beanie Wells, Kevin Smith, Mike Wallace. Who are you going with?
Mike Wallace. I will go with Beanie Wells here. I think that he has a good but not great day, about 75 yards and probably a touchdown.
I agree. I'm going with Beanie Wells also. And I have to tell you, he's one of the guys who I'm sort of changing my mind on. I mean, I don't think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but he's played banged up. We all know he gets hurt all the time. He's played through it. And last week he looked pretty darn good running, although he couldn't run away from people fast enough. But he has been a turnaround guy this year, Rev. You got a guy like that who's changing your mind at all this year?
Right off the top of my head, I've seen some good signs out of him. The one thing that worries me about him is that he's chronically injured, and I don't think he could hold up as a feature back over 16 games. But I do think that when he's healthy, this guy's got elite talent, elite size, elite speed, and a guy who could break off a lot of big runs for you. But I just don't trust him as a guy that's going to be healthy over the long haul. I think they really need a secondary back in that offense, and it's too bad
that they had it.
Yeah, it's too bad that Williams went down early in the year in the preseason, because that's the guy they really need.
Yeah, what a disappointment. Between Williams and between Cobb being what everybody but Arizona thought he was, that team's had a disappointing season. All right, put a wrap on it. A week 13 in the books, some pretty entertaining games. The realistic and the fantasy playoffs will shake out more by the week's end, and we will see you next week. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Go Bronx, Chicago Bears, Bleed Green, Days of Confused, of course, G Money, and the rest of the crew. For Reverend Ralph Mancini, I am Ross Radamus, Ross Mandel. Thanks for listening in. We'll be back next week. See ya.